morning, everybody. Welcome. Lovely to see you all. Good to see you, Jean. Hi, guys. Love it to hear the organ ringing out. Oh, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed me. Good home. Excellent. What a start. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have brought us here. We've come, some of us, many miles to come here, some just down the road. But even so, it's perhaps been a long journey to get to this point where we're here. Lord God, we pray your blessing upon us, blessing of sight to see you, blessing of a renewed heart to love you, and the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Great. Right, well, we have a few notices, which is good, because that shows we're alive. Excellent. Good. Firstly, we have the Holy Spirit Day coming up. We wanted to give everyone the opportunity to experience the Holy Spirit Day, which is part of the Alpha Course, specifically because in this year, when we've been thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, it's good for us to know about the Holy Spirit. And some of us know a lot, some of us know a little, and the idea is to give everyone the opportunity to find out some more. So the day will be on the 30th of September, Saturday, here. There's a program for you on the table in the vestibule. Do take one with you. The opportunity is there to hear about who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and how to be filled or to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there'll be time to pray. It'll include lunch, and it's going to be a great day. So do come if you can. And the notices are outside. Oh, yes. Yes, the form is not just a form for you to have. It does have on it a registration bit. We'll send it out by email as well this week. But we'd like to know who's coming, if you've got any particular dietary requirements. And that's to give back to Leslie, either put in the pigeonhole or email it back to us. So we know who's coming, so we can make sure we've got enough food for you. The communion offering today is for Open Doors, the organisation that works to support persecuted Christians in many countries of the world. And we always have an extra offering on Communion Sundays, and the box is outside. If you'd like to give an offering specifically for the work of Open Doors, that's where it will be. Also in the vestibule, we have a book table and a book display, and that's been completely refreshed for this week. Debbie's done that for us, with the resources, some of the resources that are in our resources room. There are lots of books on how helping us to hear God's word. The Bible's the most important book, but there can be tools, other books that can help us read and hear and understand. So do take the opportunity while you're here today to take something from there. You can borrow them, return them, for anything that's on the table there, that's for you to borrow. What there will also be on the table outside is all the scriptures that are in today's service. All the scriptures I've printed out on a bit of paper for you because there's a number of them. And as we're thinking today about God's word, I wanted to give you the opportunity to have God's word in front of you. So there's about 40 copies there, enough for everybody. Every household here to have one. They're on the table outside. Do take them. That's what they're there for. Lastly, birthdays. We have a birthday tomorrow. And
are they on the table?
Not yet. They will be. See, Andrew's on this. You see. I didn't want to put them. I didn't want people to know before. You see, I didn't want people to look and be checking up on me to make sure that I've made spelling mistakes, which I have. So they're here, and they will be put outside after the service. Thank you, Mark. So, birthdays. Has anybody got, apart from a certain person, a birthday? Yes, Ian. Jimmy's on Tuesday. Now, that's a first. We've had all sorts of birthdays. Early birthdays, late birthdays, but we never had a dog's birthday. There is a rule. It's got to be people who are here. And Jimmy is here. So that's all right. So Jimmy's here. And we've got Dee, whose birthday is tomorrow. And can you hear us now, Dee?
Yes.
Good, excellent. Brilliant. Anybody else birthday? I don't want to miss anybody out. No, good? No, right, okay. So, can we sing Happy Birthday to Dee and Jimmy, please? Choose your order. Happy birthday to you. Oh, we covered him last week. Yeah, we covered him last week. We had a lot last week. He doesn't want to forget it. So we've got an Ollie and Dee sandwich today. That's the way it goes. To lead us into worship, to a time of worship, wonderful words from the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's why we worship Jesus. That's why we focus our worship on Jesus. Feel free to sit or to stand. And in those spaces between songs, feel free to pray or just to be silent. This is a time to meet with God and to give him our hearts. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through creation, through your word. Lord God, you have spoken to your people, and you are speaking to us today. You're speaking to us about who Jesus is. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. The source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, the light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in its circumstance. You are the source of heaven's hope. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Please be seated. 'Tis a wonderful thing that we can come close to him. That's what this meal is all about, which we'll come to in a moment. This is an opportunity now for us to give money to the Lord. The Lord has got plenty of money. So why does he need us to give? It's because he wants us to share in his work. And so as we give to him, so we take part in the work of his kingdom. If you've come prepared to give, please do. If you're visitors here, don't worry about giving to us. We're just pleased to have you here with us. But stewards, if you'd like to wait on us now for our offering, that'd be lovely. Father, we thank you for all that you've given to us, and we cheerfully give back to you. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Could those who are serving communion come and join me? To play with the toys today. No one's excused. We are invited to this family meal, and everyone who wants to say thank you to Jesus for what he's done for them, loving them, caring for them, dying for them to take away the sins, take away all the wrong, all the bad stuff. If you know that and you want to say thank you to Jesus, then share in this meal. If you're not there yet, that's fine. As the bread and the wine come past, just let them go. God loves you and is blessing you, but he doesn't want us to do something we don't believe. So feel free to join in the meal or not. Jesus said to the crowds who were listening to him teaching, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus wants to feed us with food for eternity. Jesus wants to give us drink for eternity. And Jesus makes this invitation. Come to my table. Not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come to this table. Not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because you need my mercy and my help. Come because you love me a little and you want to love me more. Come because I have loved you and I have given myself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for I am here and you are my body. Let's pray. Almighty God, all of our hearts are open to you. All of our desires are known by you. And we cannot hide any secrets from you. Cleanse us, we pray, from our sin, from evil thoughts, from anything we've done that's hurt you. Forgive us and cleanse us. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit that we may love you and bring glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus told the Apostle Paul what happened on the first night when the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, the communion meal was celebrated. The first time it started, Paul wasn't there, but Jesus told him what happened. And so Paul is able to say to us, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We give thanks to God for this meal and this simple way of remembering that Jesus has taught us. And David's going to lead us in a prayer.
Let's pray together. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the incredible price you paid for our forgiveness. Thank you that your body feeds us with all we need to live our lives for you, and that your blood cleanses us from all our sin. We worship you as our Lord and Savior. Surely you are worthy to receive all glory and honor. Amen. Amen.
So this bread, Jesus said, eat it in remembrance of me. Feed on it with faith, with thanksgiving. The bread is going to be brought round on the top of cups, and the wine will be drunk together to remember our unity in Jesus. And but David and Ginny now are going to bring round the cups so you can eat the bread in remembrance of Jesus. This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for all of us, and be thankful. We were reminded in our prayer before the service today that someone had seen on the news about situation in Ukraine and everything else going on there, that we are so blessed to have the freedom to meet here in this moment. And when we gather together for communion particularly, we think of those perhaps who aren't here. And it would be good to pray for those people particularly who are on our heart at the moment, in the family of the church, in the widest sense of that word, to pray for those that we are concerned for, those who would love to be here but can't for various different reasons. So let's just speak a name out if that's all you'd like to say, or if you know something particularly that you want to pray, that the Lord has said this is how to pray for this particular person, then speak it out so we can say amen to your prayer.
Lord, we pray for Adam in hospital in Plymouth, and we pray, Lord, that you would reduce his pain and help him to get well soon. Amen.
Amen.
as we remember today the
work of Open Doors, we know that there are brothers and sisters praying all over the world. Some are on their own. Some are connected only by the internet or technology because they can't meet with others in person. We pray, Lord, that that we will never take for granted the privilege of being part of a family, and that we can be together, loving one another, caring for one another. And we'd soon pray for Open Doors that you will empower them and guide them as how they can encourage the persecuted church. They can come alongside to train, to provide, to ensure that people know they are not forgotten. Lord, help us to learn together as a church how we can obey your command to always praise for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith. Amen. Amen. Right, we have the opportunity now to hear God's word, and there's an activity for our children that goes with that. So I thought we'd do first is if we'd have the reading, and then I'll let children know what we're doing. Thank you guys very much.
Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a crash down.
Thank you, Sheila. In case you're wondering, Sheila's going to read that again in a moment. So, so for the children we have here, it's an option today. It's always an option. We've got a couple of pictures at the front. There's a house built on the rock, and there's a house built on the sand. And so the option today is to do exactly the same. Do a picture of a house built on the rock and a house built on the sand. But there's a label to stick on. One is hear and obey. Put it into practice. Yeah. The other one is hear and ignore. I'll let you decide which one's which. So so that's an option. I'll give them out, and then you can decide you want to do it or not. No compulsion. And there's extra packs here if anybody else wants to participate. There you go. Because it's such a short reading, and distributing packs and things, we might forget what we've just heard. I've asked Sheila if she'd read it again. Thank you.
If you've closed your Bibles, I will remind you where it is. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
The simple stories are so powerful, aren't they? Even yesterday, queuing up in Smith's to get the prick sticks for the packs, ended up talking with the person behind me about building your house on a rock or on the sand. She said, well, yeah, we're still doing it, aren't we? Building the houses on the sand. A very simple message. I've asked David if he'd come and pray for me.
I'd remember.
Holy Father, we thank you for Stephen, and we thank you that we look to you for your word. I pray now you will anoint him with your Holy Spirit and give him your words. And Lord, too, we pray for us that you'll give us listening hearts that we may hear and put it into practice. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, David. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Our Baptist family is currently going through a period of consultation about marriage and mission, prompted by a formal request to allow accredited Baptist ministers to retain their accreditation if they enter into same-sex marriages. We are participating in this consultation by seeking the Lord's will together as part of the body of Christ. Each Baptist church is given the opportunity to participate in the survey, the consultation survey that's been going on. We recently had an information morning, and we're now seeking God's revelation, his wisdom. Information's all right, we need it, but we need God's revelation and his wisdom. At our information morning, I highlighted three of the issues that this request raises. God's word, the purpose of marriage, relationships. And for the next three Sundays, well, today we're doing God's word, then purpose of marriage, relationships, the next two. God's word. Do we know what God's word says? Will we obey what God's word says? Why is God's word so important? Why start here? May seem a little way along from this marriage and mission consultation set, but why do we start with God's word? Well, as we've already heard in our worship songs, by God's word, we were created. Everything was created by the word of God. And not just us. God's word created not only everybody here, but everybody in the whole world. God's word created everything. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. And there was. He just spoke. Then God said, let us make mankind, in our own image, male or female. And he did. He spoke. And they were formed. John, echoing these words, starts his gospel with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So it's God's Word that creates us and everything. By God's Word, Jesus is revealed to us. Throughout the Bible, God shows us Jesus. We've seen this as we read through Zechariah. But it applies to all the books of the Bible. They all point to Jesus. Jesus himself said, the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, they all point to me, Jesus said. John said he'd written down his record of the life of Jesus, his gospel, including miraculous signs that Jesus did, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So God creates us, God's word, by his word. God's word reveals Jesus to us. And by God's word, we receive faith and are born again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How do we come to believe? Faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Without God's word, the word of Christ, we would not have faith. We would not be forgiven. We would not be saved from sin, from death, from hell. We would have no hope of eternal life. We would be dead in our transgressions and sins without God's word. By God's word, we receive eternal life. When Jesus said those words we heard at communion, "I am the bread of life," his words were so difficult and so challenging that most of the crowd just walked away. They left him. Jesus said to his disciples, "Are you going to go away as well?" And Simon Peter, bless Simon Peter. Thank you, God, for Simon Peter. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of
eternal life.
Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So that's why we start with God's word. We need God's word. It is the start of everything. And God has the last word too. We are in a battle. We are under attack. And our enemy, not people, but the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, the devil, has always focused his attack on God's word. Why? Because of what we've just heard. If he can successfully stop us from hearing, believing, and obeying God's word, he will stop us and others receiving faith and the eternal life that God wants for us. So the enemy has always attacked God's word. What was the first thing that the devil, in the form of the serpent, said in his attack against the human race? He said to Eve, "Did God really say?" And then he followed that by a deliberate lie as to what God did actually say. You can read all that in Genesis 3. The enemy continually attacked the prophets who brought God's word to God's people. And he even tried it on Jesus, the word of God. How arrogant. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness by quoting the scriptures to Jesus, who wrote them. It's amazing. He quoted them out of context, distorting them to try and trap Jesus into disobeying God. How did Jesus respond to each of the temptations? By quoting and applying God's word correctly. Jesus said each time, "It is written. It is written." This formal request, put in the form of a letter, and now an open letter, for a rule change, by removing a few words in brackets, is not innocuous. Doesn't matter either way. It is a deliberate, calculated attack on God's word by the enemy using people, a large number of people. And we must not be deceived. And neither can we leave it to other people to do something about it. We need to do something about it. It is not the first attack, and it will not be the last. So we need to be aware of how the enemy works. And you'll be pleased to know I have 3 points, just to keep it consistent. Firstly, ignorance. Ignorance. In order for us to receive faith from God's word, we need to hear it. We need to know it. You can't obey a command of God you haven't heard. You can't be encouraged by a promise of God you've never received. You can't reply, "It is written," to defend yourself against the temptations and accusations of the enemy if you don't know what's written. So we can be ignorant of, "I just don't know what God says." That's why today we've got all those scriptures for you to take away with you. That's why we've had that story today. If you hear my words, Jesus says, and put them into practice, your house will be built on the rock. If you don't even hear them, well, then you've got no chance. But it's not just what we don't know. You can also be very well educated in religious and theological matters, but ignorant of the truths of God. In Jesus' time, the Sadducees, a party of Jews that were wealthy and sophisticated with great political and religious influence, tried to trick Jesus by asking him whose wife a woman would be in heaven when she'd married several brothers in turn as each had died. The law required that if your husband died and he's got a brother, in order to keep the name going and the line going, that you marry his brother. And we had Christina, in our famous occasion here, getting married to 7 different men. You thoroughly enjoyed the experience, Christina, didn't you? Yes. They all died one at a time. I think Richard and Andrew and a few there were there. It was a trick question to prove there was no heaven. If basically the line was, we can't understand it, therefore it can't be true. And Jesus replied to them, "Are you not in error? Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." And then he said, "You are badly mistaken." And I remember saying at the time, woe betide anybody to whom the Lord says, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God, and you are badly mistaken." And there is a greater responsibility, it says in God's word, on those who are teachers. And that's why the concern is of so many of the people who are propagating this lie are teachers of God's word, are accredited Baptist ministers, regional ministers themselves. So, are you ignorant of God's word? Bring it back to us here. It's easy to have a pop at somebody else, but let's focus on us. Are you ignorant of God's word? If you are, there is a danger you can be mistaken. You may be thinking, and I know a number of you will be thinking at this point, "I'm not a reader. I don't read very well. I'm certainly not an academic. I'm not a studier of the Bible. I'm in trouble." And I have good news. You don't need to be an academic. You don't need to be someone who reads lots and lots. You don't need to be. You may be thinking, "How can I know the whole Bible?" You don't need to. The more you read, the better it is, but you don't need to know the whole Bible. Jesus promised us that when he left this earth, he would send another counselor, a guide, just like him, who would be with us forever. This is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit would teach us all things and remind us of everything he has said to us. This promise was immediately followed by the declaration, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." You don't need to be worried about knowing the Bible well enough. If we ask the Holy Spirit, he will teach us what we need to know. We've all been greatly encouraged by those in the church here who've become Christians, and within it seems a matter of weeks and months, have great wisdom, their great understanding. They don't know more than, 1% of the Bible, but they've already understood God. How is that possible? By the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at them now. They're sitting next to us. Because of the Holy Spirit. He will teach us everything we need to know. Peter told us a long time ago, I think it was in COVID time, a long time ago, a story of a Chinese evangelist who went out. He went to a particular village, and I think 5 or 6 people became Christians, and he thought, I'm not coming back this way for 2 years. What can I do in terms of follow-up? So he thought, I know what I'll do. And I think it was only 5 stones he took out of the river, and he engraved on those 5 stones 5 scriptures. He said, there we are, that'll do you. And they read 1 a week or whatever, 2 years, he comes back. What does he find? People who've heard God's word and put it into practice. Massive houses on the rock. They only had 5 scriptures, but the Holy Spirit taught them. So don't be put off, and don't be accused by the enemy. You're not reading the Bible enough, you don't know the Bible enough. No, no. Just let the Holy Spirit teach you and get into a pattern of reading God's word, whether it's the daily notes, using the books and materials out there. However you do it, do it. And as we all know, when you read regularly God's word, when troubles come, Leslie and I can tell you stories of in the midst of our worst time, God's word came every day to encourage us. So, don't be in ignorance. That's attack of the enemy, ignorance. The next attack of the enemy is doubt. We've already heard that the devil said to Eve, did God really say? When the devil tempted to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, trying to get Jesus to doubt what God had just said. He'd just been baptized, and when Jesus was baptized, a dove comes down, and the voice from heaven says, what? This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son. First thing Jesus, the devil says, it says, if you are the Son of God. Amazing, isn't it? He has a pop at Jesus. I think Jesus knew he was the Son of God. But the enemy still tried to tempt him. So if he tried to have a go at Jesus to doubt God's word, then he's certainly going to use that form of attack against us. What seeds of doubt does he try and sow? I had to be careful here to make sure the people listening to the recording know that I don't think this, but this is what he starts to say. Is the Bible really God's word? Wasn't it made up by people and changed over time? We all know what happens with Chinese whispers. Isn't the Old Testament out of date now that Jesus has come? We don't need to bother with the Old Testament. As science has proved that God didn't create the world in 6 days, and that's what the Bible says, the whole of the Bible is unreliable. And there's a new one now. A couple of years ago, I hadn't heard this one. But in some ways, it's the most dangerous yet. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, there are new truths that he will teach us that go beyond the Bible. Sounds all right, doesn't it? You make up what you like. You can have whatever gospel you like. You can have whatever new rules you like. Because the Holy Spirit's here to take us beyond the Bible. Polite word I can use for that. But it very sounds prophetic, but it's untrue. If the enemy can get us to get down to God's word, then we are lost. There is no assurance of salvation. There's no assurance of sins forgiven. There's no assurance of eternal life. Not one of God's promises can be relied upon. It has become fashionable to say, and this was in a meeting with ministers, I might be wrong to everything. Now, it's fair enough when we're saying about this particular thing that, you know, is this right or that right, when there's no mention of it in the Bible, that's quite tricky. And we have to work through things and pray through things and talk about things. But things that are in the Bible and are really clear, you don't say, well, Jesus said, I'll forgive you anything you'll say sorry for. But I might be wrong. So you're not really forgiven. Jesus promises eternal life to everybody who puts their faith in him. But I might be wrong. We have no gospel if there's no truth. So you won't hear me saying, I might be wrong on the essential core Christian truth. When Jesus came, he came to his own. His own did not recognize him. They did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. But I might be wrong. We might all be wasting our time. Rubbish. The plain reading of Scripture brings truth. We heard it today. That's why that reading was read twice. That's why we can still remember that story. Hear God's word, put it into practice. That's it. God says through Paul that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be equipped for every good work. And through the letter to the Hebrews, God says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. All Scripture, the whole of the Bible, given by God to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us when we need it, to inspire us and encourage us. Once we stop doubting whether God's word is true, then we are lost. We are vulnerable to whatever new opinions and beliefs are shared, whether in person or on the internet or in social media. I find it's really interesting. How many people here listen to sermons, messages, or podcasts, or whatever, on the internet or through social media? Who listens to things? I mean, it's not a bad thing, but who listens? And that's in our age group. I think if you went down a few age groups, you'd have a lot more. If we doubt God's word, then we have nothing to test that teaching, prophecy, or dreams or visions. We have nothing to test it with. You've heard stuff on the internet, and you will do more and more. How do you know it's true? You need to test it. How do you test it? With God's word. You use God's word to test God's word. That's why we have different people preaching here, and they will all say to you, talk to me afterwards. If you think I've got something wrong, tell me. Sometimes people give me their scriptures first, their scripts first. And sometimes I will say, I think you've missed something there. Or actually, I think that's not quite right. And people are gracious enough to accept that. And afterwards, do tell me if I've got something wrong. I want to know. We test everything by God's word. But if we doubt it, we've got nothing to do that with. There's no point in asking for God's wisdom if we doubt what he says. James puts it like this. But when he asks for wisdom, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. James never pulls any punches, does he? If you ever read it, get stand back, because, you know. The doubt that we're talking about is not a genuine, questioning, struggling. I can't understand why God says this. I can't understand why God has done that. That's not the doubt we're talking about. That is natural. We all do it. Questioning, asking, what's going on? Like Mary, when she was told by the angel, you're going to have a baby from God. You know, how can this be? You know, that was all right. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, he didn't say, well, how can this be? He said, how can this be true? Talking to the archangel Gabriel. And that's doubting. And so because he doubted, the angel Gabriel said, look, I'm the one who stands next to God in heaven. What I say is true. Boom. He struck him dumb. You can read the full story at the beginning of Luke's gospel. So genuine questioning, asking, not sureness, that's fine. That's part of our Christian life. But do not say God's word is not true, because you're left completely lost. In a world that says, I have my truth, you have yours, Jesus said, I am the truth. Believe me. Believe my word. The only way to have a secure foundation in your life is to hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. The choice that Jesus gives us is hear his words and obey them, or hear and ignore doubt. Leave alone. Which foundation will you choose, rock or sand? How will you obey Jesus? And we can only do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, but we can do it with him. Our scripture for the year is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we can do this. Last one, distortion, bending, twisting. The enemy knows God's word well, and he will distort it to deceive us, confuse us, and divide us. Last Sunday, Peter helped us to focus on heaven, preaching that heaven is real. And Peter, the apostle, urged his hearers, when he wrote his letters, to live holy and godly lives as they look forward to the day of God's return. And he also told them something about Paul's letters. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The sad truth is that the enemy uses people to distort the word of God, and we fall for it time and time and time and time again for the last 2,000 years. We have been warned by God, and we need to be alert for wolves in sheep's clothing. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head. That's Paul's word to Timothy that we've heard lots of. In this current situation, the enemy's primary attack is not saying to the Baptist family that we should ignore God's word, but saying that God's word actually supports same-sex marriage. This is a lie from the father of lies and needs to be exposed as such. You will struggle to find any evidence of biblical support for same-sex marriage from those who claim to have diligently and prayerfully wrestled with the Bible. And there's two reasons for that. One, because it isn't there. And that's why they're not quoting it. The plain reading of what the Bible actually says makes it clear, and I know this is painful for many to hear, but this is the truth. The Bible says quite clearly that any sexual relationship outside the marriage of a man and a woman is wrong. Plain, simple. That's the truth. The second thing, the second reason why you won't find the biblical evidence to support what people are campaigning for is because those who claim biblical support have had to resort to complicated theological arguments, including translation of Greek words and detailed analysis of the culture of the time in which Paul wrote his letter of Romans. And they focus on that to try and work out, twist it, whatever, how what Paul says could be interpreted another way. And they completely ignore the teaching of the whole of the Bible, which it makes it clear from start to finish that the sexual relationship between man and woman is only, the only to be contained in marriage, and that marriage is only between a man and a woman. And we're going to be looking at marriage and relationships next 2 weeks, so I don't want to say much more now. So, what do we do to defend ourselves against the distortion of God's word by others? We can rely on the Holy Spirit. You have to be really clever and complicated to get the clever and complicated arguments that twist God's word. For those of us who are simple, we just have to read it. There we are. Isn't that a relief? Who is here is simple? Yes! I choose to be simple. I can get complicated. I've done the training. I can get complicated. But you won't hear me preaching complicated. Because complicated doesn't set you free. Complicated doesn't give you life. Complicated doesn't give you joy and peace, does it? Oh, I've had a really complicated sermon today. There may be one or two who like the challenge, because then they'll go home and then tell me where I was wrong. But most of us, we just want to hear God's word that gives life, don't we? We want to hear the truth. We don't want to waste our time on complicated arguments that preach death. So, keep it simple. Hear the words of Jesus. Put them into practice. Let's pray. Lord, help us to listen, to hear, to know your word. Forgive us, Lord, where we have ignored your word, where we've chosen not to listen to you, where we've not disciplined ourselves to read your word, to hear your word. Forgive all of us here and in the wider Baptist family and the wider church family, Lord. Help us, forgive us, we pray, for being ignorant of what we should have known and what you're speaking to us all the time. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for doubting, disbelieving your word and passing on that doubt and unbelief to others. Help us to believe your word. Lord, we know that it contains many mysteries. There are many things that we don't understand. But help us to believe nevertheless, that it is true. Forgive us, Lord, here, and forgive our wider Baptist family and the whole church family for doubting, for disbelieving you, and passing on this doubt and unbelief onto others. Amen. And Lord, we thank you that your word, given life by your Holy Spirit, is simple and clear. Forgive us, Lord, for making it complicated. Forgive us for distorting your word to suit our own purposes, for missing out some bits and putting other bits in that aren't there, for bending it, for breaking it, so that we can do what we want to do. Lord, help us to read it with the help of your Holy Spirit and simply do what you tell us. Forgive us here, forgive us as a Baptist family, and forgive us as a whole church family for every time we have distorted, complicated, bent or broken your word and passed that on to others. Amen. I'd like to invite you to join in a commitment to God's word. And I'm going to read the last scripture now from Colossians. It's one of those ones, when I was at university, it was on a little card provided by the navigators, which you could memorize. And apparently you remember 10% of what you hear, 20% of what you write, and you remember 100% of what you memorize. That's good, isn't it? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Now I'm going to cheat. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Remembered half of it. But that was one of the scriptures. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you are members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. I'd like to invite you in your hearts, I'm not going to ask you to stand up physically, but in your hearts, if you say, yes, I want the word of Christ to dwell in me richly, then have that as your desire now as I pray. Lord God, our desire is that your word, the word of Christ, dwells in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to you. This is our desire. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, that your word may go deeply within us and stay there, dwelling in us richly. This is our desire. And Holy Spirit, come and help us hear your word and put your word into practice. Amen. Amen. We finish our service with a song, We Believe. And whenever we speak God's word, we speak it in love. And so we're going to finish with the grace. Because in these matters which are hard, we need God's grace to receive and to share. So let's say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.